Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. It is the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It is the 25th week in Ordinary Time. And just as a sidelight, it is also Take Your Child Outside Week. So your children should not be hemmed in by iPads and TV screens and computer screens or whatever it is, but should be outside exploring the world. And here at the Church of St. Francis of Assisi in Raleigh, this is our exploration station for our preschool, to bring them outside to try different things, to discover things about nature, about the world. Very Franciscan, because we are a Franciscan parish. So just enjoy that understanding this week too. But our readings also open up for us something good to ponder, as well as it being puzzling and challenging. Again, less than 10 weeks left to our church year, 25th Sunday, 25th week in Ordinary Time. And the gospel just seems to be ridiculous. The gospel doesn't seem to make any sense. Jesus provides a parable to his listeners about a dishonest steward. Now, again, the word dishonest doesn't necessarily work truly with what the parable explains. That's the title of this section within Luke's gospel. And the titles are not written into the original scripture. We put them in when we edited gospels and Bibles and whatever it is, so it'd be easier to kind of break up the scripture into places and whatever it is. But it's not dishonest as much as it is a crafty steward. And it seems as though, as Jesus is telling this parable, the steward has been a bad steward to his master. He has not done what it is that he's supposed to do. I guess he's failed at a couple of things, that there is this sense in which that he isn't performing to his abilities and he's going to be fired. Again, it's not specific on what, you know, is firing him, why he's being fired for, and why it is that he's, what is it that he's done wrong to merit having been fired. But the reality is that he's going to lose his job. And as he says, he is too proud to beg and he is too old to dig. So how's he going to sustain himself? Well, he's going to get the other creditors, I guess that he oversaw or something like that, that owed his master money. And he's going to reduce the amount of money somehow that they owe the master. Without the master, again, realizing it, it's all very confusing how this is working out. And the creditors, who themselves, I guess, are wealthy people, are going to, you know, take this man under their care because he was able to work for them against paying more money than they wanted to the master. So it's all of this craftiness, dishonesty, whatever you want to call it. And the master commends this, Jesus says, again, how crafty the steward was. Does he get his job back? No. But he is able, you know, I guess, to continue living a lifestyle that he was living beforehand. How is this gospel? How is this, you know, showing, again, honesty? How is this showing us what it means to live this life as a believer in fullness of truth and what have you? It doesn't seem to make any sense. But then Jesus goes on to say, if you see how the children of the world are so crafty at dealing with each other and their concerns in their life, would that be that the children of light, I guess those who are listening to what Jesus is saying, those who want to connect their lives more deeply to God, those who want to live the good news, who want to evangelize about the more that human life has to offer that isn't governed by human principles and human understandings, you know, and human senses of value and worthiness, why aren't those individuals, the children of the light, just as crafty in being able to spread the good news, which is very important. And that's the crux, again, of this gospel and where these readings, the first reading and the gospel are taking us. The first reading from Amos, you know, is really a commitment that God is going to make to bring justice to those who are using God's ways. Again, what God has taught Israel, the way to live as members of this community, as sons and daughters of God, that these crafty people, dishonest people, whatever it is, are going to use what it is that God has given to govern the lives of Israel to gain, to create their own gain and to give them what it is that they are looking for and trying to achieve in their own lives, to become very selfish and to become very self-centered in being able to do that. And the reality is that's not the way to live, of course, you know, as a person who has, you know, embraced the life of God, embraced what it is that God is asking us to do. And so God is going to deal justly with them, because the way they have abused, you know, the principles and the life statutes and however it is that God is asking them to live for their own personal gain and things like that. So good, that makes sense. But then this parable comes up as a little bit of a contradiction, to all of that, in which, again, why are you praising a dishonest steward? Why are you praising somebody who is crafty that way? But this is where we have to remember, that in Luke's gospel earlier on, Jesus says that those who are listening to his word and those who are going to become witnesses and people who will spread the gospel, that they need to be as crafty as serpents and as meek as doves. Again, these two things, you know, that are kind of brought together within the gospel that Jesus is trying to present to us. Again, is the sense in which, that we need to be aware of how to spread this message in ways that are powerful, in ways that get people to think, in ways that show it has a viability. It isn't just fluff. It isn't just a teddy bear that you hold on to, that faith has to have meat attached to it. It has to have some kind of power. If it doesn't, then all of it, all it is just some kind of window dressing. And it will not make the impact that it needs to make in this world. Again, those who want their way in the world, those who know how to make their way in the world, those who know what to grab, what it is that they want to grab in this world, know how to do it. How about us? You know, who dare to believe what others don't want to believe or are too afraid to believe? How do we convince them with the same kind of urgency, the same kind of dynamism, the same kind of skill as those who get what they want out of this world? Can we do the same again for the gospel? Too many times, again, the gospel is something like, you know, it's this kind of fluff. It's this kind of, it's just this way in which, you know, you live your own personal kind of philosophy, your own personal kind of world, and nothing else. It doesn't do anything else but become a security blanket or become something that is just so meek and passive and mild. It doesn't achieve anything. That's not what God is calling us to do. That's not what Jesus is saying for us to do, that we need to be powerful in the way that we spread this good news. We need to get people to see that this is the most important thing that they need to attach themselves to. Not personal gain, not personal worth, not personal influence, not personal ambition, but the ability to be able to say, you know, this, my life is a part of God, and this God is a part of my life. And that is more important and more powerful and more glorious than anything that society or culture can hold up of value and of worth to me. To be able to be a person who knows what he or she needs to get in the way that it comes, in the way that comes to faith, is a person who is going to spread that faith and allow that faith to touch and nurture as many lives as possible. Continue blessings from Franciscan Media. May the Lord always give you his peace.